Joining me today is Liz Hoyt, who is a CPT, which is a continuing professional development accredited trainer in coercive control. Liz has successfully created a coercive control whole school curriculum. We're going to find out more for all secondary schools in the UK, United Kingdom. She is here today to talk about her successful career and healthy relationships. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Yes, it's lovely. And I have to say, I love your quote. Make decisions in your life that will create peace in your heart. Tell
Yeah.
us about that.
Yeah, I think for me, it's because obviously I found myself within this coercive control and relationship for nearly 2 decades. And when I kind of sort of broke free from that relationship, it was for me within the relationship, I never really had the chance to make those kind of, choices and decisions. They could even be like the most simplest decision or a choice about something. I never had that. So, of course, when I kind of came out of that relationship back in 2019, for me, it was kind of, what decisions and choices can I make that actually creates peace in my heart? Because prior to that, for almost 20 years, I never had that peace in my heart. And so it was about kind of, what can I do that's going to kind of create my life in a way where I was in sort of full control over it. And while it kind of took a little while to get there, still on the journey now, it was just one of those things that kind of, you realize how difficult decisions are to make when you've come out of a relationship that's abusive or coercive and controlling. That kind of aspect is sort of taken away from you. So it was about regaining that. And I kind of said to myself, what I tend to do now is I make decisions really quickly now, and I don't necessarily think about a decision. I feel on a decision. I kind of have a decision to make, whether that's with work, relationships, whatever it is. And I kind of go, how do I feel about this? And I make a decision on how I feel very quickly. Whereas before, even if I had the opportunity to make decisions, I would overthink things. And by the time I thought about it, I would almost talk myself out of it. So it was really important for me in terms of finding that peace in my heart. Because, we talk a lot about, yeah, it's great to have peace in your heart. It's great to make choices and decisions. But when you don't have that for a large aspect of your life, you miss it. And there's always a lot of struggle with it as well. So it was just about actually, what can I do to feel empowered for me? And that was it, make those choices and decisions that create peace in your heart. And we seldom talk about that journey, how hard it is to actually make those decisions, the ones that create the peace. But actually, once we do, on the other side of that, there's so much positivity, there's so much hopefulness, and there's so much meaning that can come from that. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it was sort of born out of, really. Yeah.
Yes, and thank you for sharing, because you want to be in a healthy space in your heart, but even like the word saying no, when you say yes to everything, people pleaser, or coming out of a poor relationship, and it's
Yeah.
happening, but as you said. And so how long did the journey take, Liz, for you? I know you're still
Yeah.
working, right, as you said.
Yeah. So I think really, like you say, like you've just reiterated, Christine, it's a journey that I'm still on. And sometimes, going through life and going through different aspects, you realize that you can come up against different triggers that you kind of thought was gone. But I think the difference is now I kind of learned to manage that a lot better. So I'm kind of 6, nearly 7 years out of that relationship now. And things still kind of crop up. But I think the good thing is that, there's always hope, and there's always meaning that you can kind of gain from the experiences that you've had before. And I think that really helps. Have I answered your question? Probably, Christine. I'm going for a little bit of perimenopause at the moment, so sometimes I can be a bit off track. But yeah.
No, it's wonderful. You're sharing your story, and I was there a pivotal moment you knew you wanted to share your experience and skills to the world? Like sometimes generally speaking, we tend not to share because we may not know or are afraid or whatever the case may be. Can you tell our audience?
I mean, for me, it was definitely back in sort of 2019, 2017, 2019, around that kind of space. And I kind of, was at a point in my life where our home for me and my children wasn't safe because of the coercive control. And I was kind of, going through so many different issues, kind of legal stuff, having to pay out lots of solicitor fees, just kind of going through all of that, issues with child maintenance, work, everything was kind of basically crumbling. And it was at that point I kind of thought, I wonder who else is going through what I'm going through, but doesn't necessarily recognize it as abuse, especially when we look at coercive control and there isn't physical violence. We can kind of, our perceptions of what abuse is can be very physical. So in my mind, I was kind of confused with the whole situation, what I was going through, what I was being subjected to. And it was at that point really was the pivotal moment, because I was like, who else is going through what I'm going through but doesn't associate it with abuse? And so that's when I kind of wanted to write some books and to just reach out to people, to give people kind of the awareness about coercive control, that not all kind of abuse is physical, and spread this message, but not just spread the message. It was about giving actionable strategies to people, to especially parents who are going through coercive control, and to help them better parent their children going through the process as well. So I think for me, that was the pivotal moment of basically being stripped of everything, being stripped of our home, finances, until I kind of hit that space that was the pivotal moment of something needs to give. And so, yeah, that was definitely the pivotal moment for me, along the journey.
Yes, and your career. Tell us about your career. I mean, you are an author and you've written some books. Tell us about it's a, tell us about your training and your curriculum and also your books, if I may.
So I mean, as I was sort of saying, back in kind of 2019, when I left that relationship, there was so much that I kind of wanted to do to help other people. I kind of didn't want somebody to be suffering as much as I suffered. I wanted to kind of alleviate that and help people to understand, actually, if you are going through coercive control without physical violence, you're still being abused, you're still being subjected to abuse. And so the best way at the time that I could think about was, as you say, Christine, first of all, writing the books. It's called Break Free, and it was a transformational journey and paradigm shift out of coercive control. So the kind of the first part of the book maps my experience or what I was going through. But then the second half of the book was kind of like helpful tools to help people to understand about, having to detach, having to have sort of the positive side of it. What are we saying to ourselves? How are we treating ourselves? And even though that's really difficult at that stage, it was about kind of holding on to what we could at the time in order to be able, I think I called it like the tennis ball effect. You feel that so many things are being kind of pushed at you. You're dealing with finances, you're dealing with, legal stuff, you're dealing with so many things that surround coercive control. It can be unbearable. But the second half of the book wanted to kind of give people hope, wanted to help people to get out of the, that kind of that frequency, that lower frequency, and try to, as within, so without, what could we do for ourselves? And that was the second part of it. And then I wanted to kind of create a coercive control curriculum, because I thought, if my children are going through it, then maybe other people's children are going through it as well. And how else can we help the majority of young people for our education system? So that's when I co created the coercive control curriculum. And it was just about, people then contacted me and wanted me to kind of consult them on coercive control. I came up with a life coaching program for people who had just left coercive control in relationships and wanted to kind of empower themselves and regain their agency and autonomy. So these were all the little things that I kind of put together, and it was all a vision of how can I help the next person, because I think that tends to what happened, doesn't it, when you kind of, you hit your version of rock bottom. You want to be able to help, you want to reach that next level of consciousness to reach out and help other people. And that's kind of sort of where the journey started.
Goodness, it's wonderful. And so in the United Kingdom, have you thought of in North America, like to have this curriculum available?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I want to, because I've always said to myself, I don't just want to do the local and the, the regional and the national. I want to be global in what I'm doing, because I think that anyone supporting young people and having an understanding, of course, of control, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. I think that it will benefit young people. I think that it will benefit teachers, facilitators. So definitely that kind of global reach is something that I'm definitely intending to before I leave this physical time space reality.
Yeah, so can you share like some of the curriculum with our viewers, audience?
I mean, for example, it always kind of starts off with, an introduction, what is coercive control? We kind of then look at signs of coercive control. There's aspects of healthy relationships, boundaries. We look at, digital coercive control, or technology facilitated coercive control. We look at smear campaigns. We look at like the voice of the child. We look at coercive control from both angles, from the mother's experiences, from the father's experiences. And yeah, there's just so many different aspects that we look at. We also try to, I wanted to focus on the healing part of it as well, the kind of moving forward, because I think sometimes what we tend to do is give young people so many awareness things. It's like you've got to be aware of this, 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 and actually we don't actually necessarily give them much of the tools to help them to navigate if they find themselves in these relationships. So the curriculum seeks to do that as well. And there's kind of a guidance booklet with it. There's a specification. There's resources. There's worksheets. There's so much stuff that has been incorporated in this, because it is about, how can different age groups within secondary education access what they need at those pivotal moments in their life. So yeah, it's quite a little bit in there, and yeah, it's good for the young people to work through.
Yeah, so the feedback's been great, right? It's been.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things where I'm still kind of, launching. I'm still marketing. I'm still kind of doing that, and in the early stages. And the feedback that we got back from three large comprehensives was just absolutely amazing. And we made a few adaptations based on that. So it's a kind of work in progress. It's finished, it's done. And it's just really welcoming to know that, when young people, when say, for example, Ofsted were visiting the schools who had trialed it, every young person who they spoke to was able to, confidently talk about coercive control, what it is, and give like five different signs of it. And I think even that in such a short space of time was really remarkable for the young people in those schools. So yeah.
That's wonderful. You are a trainer. You are an author.
Yeah.
You're a speaker. Is there anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yes. And what other services do you provide? People want to reach out. Where can they go?
Yeah, so I mean, the other services, like you were saying, Christine, so I do the CPD accredited training. That's for teachers or facilitators of learning, whether that's in primary school, whether it's in secondary school, or whether it's in post-16 education. And that also is based on safeguarding exploitation and abuse. We've got some wonderful things happening here in the UK in terms of our education system, that all kind of resources are being kind of, updated, which is wonderful. I've just done a guidance booklet for post-16 education for the Department of Education here in the UK. So yeah, we're really kind of looking to kind of put these things forward to help these young people, which is just amazing progress, which is great. Yeah, so I also do like the life coaching as well on the side of that. Yeah, just like consultations, keynote speaking as well for different events and conferences, which is really useful.
Yeah, no, Liz, it's, I mean, you do so much, and so how do you balance a healthy lifestyle?
So I think it's a little bit easier now, because my youngest is now doing some days at preschool, so that really helps. And what happens is the good thing is I can kind of schedule in my work. For example, I was in, Birmingham the other week doing a whole school day of assemblies, right through from year 7 to year 12. Obviously not year 11, because over here year 11 have left school now. But kind of I can kind of navigate that, and I can plan when I sort of do that when she's at school. The older ones, they're obviously at school, and I have a really supportive network around me as well. If I need kind of childcare, and I have a really a supportive partner who's kind of involved in what I do as well. So it's just a case of making sure that I can do the work stuff, but equally having me for that family time that we spend together and the things that we like doing. Because I think once you kind of strike that balance, you can kind of end up sort of kind of doing, you can do both to please yourself and please the people around you. It's not, I used to kind of be like, oh, how am I going to do it all? But actually kind of putting things in place, working things out, having a schedule, and also making sure that I have my boundaries in terms of, what I take on and what I don't take on at certain times. So that really helps as well to kind of, sort of strike that balance.
It's wonderful, and people want to reach out to you. Where can we go?
Yeah, so I think the best place is I'm always on LinkedIn. I think that's where I am, and it is literally just Liz Hoyt. So if you put Liz Hoyt, anything to do with coercive control education, I will be there. But my website as well, it's having a few little changes, but yeah, it's still available, and it's just basically lizhoyt.com. And you can kind of book in Calendly link, or just send me an email, and I love responding to an email. I'm so old school, I love it. So yeah, they're probably like the best ways to get hold of me.
You say you love email, so people who are watching and listening, reach out to Liz. And it was a pleasure to interview you today. I mean, a great conversation, I would say, not interview, conversation. And I'd
Yeah.
love to have you back, Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be lovely, and thank you so much for having me. It's been really lovely, and I guess that it's so wonderful to be able to share what I'm doing, because the ultimate goal is to help as many people as I can, and to shift and to change that narrative on coercive control. So doing things like this and being invited to somewhere like this, Christine, it really does mean the world. So I thank you for that too.